You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of Scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come in order to give us rest. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, greetings from my existence of jet lag. So I returned back into the United States on Thursday from being in Kenya. Kenya is about 7 hours ahead of our time. And as a result of that, what I've been experiencing is that around 4 o'clock, I sort of magically get up and go, oh, it's really hard for me to get back to sleep. And that's not normal for me, by the way. Maybe for some of you, like extreme morning people, that is normal and you're freaks. The other thing that's happening is that right around 4 o'clock in the afternoon or evening, I start to get kind of grumpy. The kids have noticed that. I'm trying to repent of that and kind of get back to a normal sort of sleep schedule here. And we all know kind of what that experience of being restless is like. We know what that experience is like. If we travel, especially if you travel internationally, you get a special picture of that. And yet there's other things that can keep us up late at night. There are things that are on our mind. There are things that, you know, keep us just kind of thinking about them, worries that we might have, or things that we might be thinking about and obsessing over. And those kind of things, those take away from our rest. And we know what it's like to have our rest taken away. Maybe it doesn't take away from your physical sleep, but maybe there's a sense that, you know, every day that you're going into work or you're going to class, that you've got this sort of sense of not being at rest because something's out of whack, something's not right. And so as you kind of think about what that is, you kind of know intuitively, I think I need a rest. And we're going into the summer here, and going into the summer means that there's possibly going to be a time for you to take a little bit of vacation, possibly a time for you to get a little bit of rest. And the sort of magical thing that at least happens to me all of the time is that we go into those vacations and we plan things, and then we don't actually plan to, well, rest at all. Yeah, we go and we visit our families and we end up being tired and coming back. And I've heard this from all sorts of people. You know, I went on vacation and I came back and I realized that I need a vacation. Because we're sort of bad at resting. And that just proves how miserable we are at being sinners. That, you know, something that should be so natural to us as rest is something that we can't even seem to get that right. And that's what our readings today are all about. They're all about this experience of Sabbath. This experience of something that God himself did as he was creating the world. That God himself created the world in 6 days. He created simply by speaking things out. And then on the seventh day, he rested from his work. And he didn't rest out of exhaustion, because, well, God doesn't get exhausted. Instead, what God models for us is this sort of perfect rest, this rest that means I'm just going to set things aside in order to experience what it is to set something aside, to set my life aside, to take a nap, to do something that brings me refreshment. And that's what God is doing for us and modeling for us, because he cares about us. That's the amazing thing about the law here in these texts. the law in these texts sort of over and over and over again is what we would call the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And the thing about that piece of law is that it is something that we can't kind of get around the way that we get around some of the other commandments. Some of the other commandments, we try to get around them and we just say, well, you know, God's a big killjoy. You know, God is somebody who, you know, he's this puritanical guy in the sky who doesn't want me to have any fun. You know, he doesn't want me to commit adultery. He doesn't want me to murder anyone. All of those things, super fun, by the way. He doesn't want me to covet. He doesn't want me to speak bad about my neighbors. He doesn't want all of this stuff. And we kind of give God a bad rap. And we think about God as this person who's trying to take away from our fun. But it's really hard for us to do that with the Sabbath, because in the Sabbath, he's just saying, I want you to take a break. I want you to rest. And our response to that is, well, God, you're just such a killjoy because, well, you want me to rest. And we go, oh, that doesn't quite fit. And we get to see a little bit of why God gives us the laws that he gives us. That God gives us the law that he gives us, not because he wants to be a killjoy, not because he wants to be puritanical, not because of any of those things, but because he wants us to live lives that are filled with goodness. He wants us to live good lives. And he gives us these commands so that we can live our best life, that we can live out his commandments, and in living out his commandments, see the wisdom that he has put into those things. And here, in the third commandment that is all about the Sabbath, we see that at work. We see that at work in a way that it's really hard to deny that what God is trying to do is to give us a good life. But because we're sinners, we rebel against even good life. We rebel against what it is that God has to give us, even when it's something that we like. I don't know how many of you have kind of hung around children very often, but there's a certain age of kids they kind of get to this point where they themselves don't want to rest, and you just go, would you please take a nap? And we get frustrated with them, but so often they are just a mirror of who we are. And then we get grumpy because we should take a nap, but we're not doing that. And so we get to this gospel lesson, and we see some of the people that should take a nap, but aren't. The religious elite of Jerusalem are, you know, they're kind of getting to know Jesus. This is Mark 2. It's very early on in Mark's gospel. And they're kind of feeling out Jesus and trying to see who he is. And these are the people that try to keep all of these commandments perfectly, not necessarily because they think that God wants them to have a good life, but because they want to show God that they're better than other people. And as a result of that, what happens is they're palling around with Jesus, they're asking him questions, and then they see his disciples pick some grain and rub it between their hands, probably, and pick it up and put it in their mouth and kind of chew a little bit, and they get some sustenance out of that. Now, I don't know if you've ever had raw wheat. I haven't. Doesn't sound like something that I would really go for. I think that they're probably pretty hungry if they're doing this. They probably know that they need some sustenance in order to continue to live their lives. But here, the religious elite of Jerusalem are saying, that's not allowed. That's not allowed because you have to be some sort of an ascetic. You have to be somebody who is going to push off everything that you need in life in order to show people that you're better. And how often do we fall into that trap of thinking that what Christianity is all about is about us being better than somebody else? That it's not about having a good life that's filled with joy and peace and harmony and all of those great things, but that it's about, well, I'm better than you. And when it starts to become that, it starts to get all weird and twisted around. And it starts to be something that no longer resembles what God was doing when he gave the law. And it becomes something that, in fact, turns into sin. Something that causes us to judge the other people around us. Something that causes us to speak poorly about them, to come up with bad ideas about them in our minds. And so that's what these religious elite are doing for Jesus' disciples. And so Jesus responds to them. He says, you guys, you're not really understanding what is happening here. You haven't read your Bibles in a very long time, it sounds like, because you don't remember that there's a loophole here. And Jesus goes in to talk about that loophole. It's this interesting loophole from the story of David, where David was hanging around with all of his sort of thugs. He was running away from Saul. He was on the lam. He was an outlaw. And he was running around with his thugs trying to stay away from Saul. And they got really hungry because they didn't have much to eat. And they went to the temple. And there they ate the showbread that was only there for the priest to eat. And David had some. And not only did David have some, but he sort of did this thing where he said, well, you guys come and grab some of the showbread too. It's delicious. And they ate, and they were filled. It was a good thing, because they got what they needed. And because they got what they needed, they were able to rest. Because they got what they needed, they were able to then work. They were able to run away from Saul for a little bit longer. Because they got what they needed, they were able to live out their best life. They were able to live out God's commands for them. They were able to live out what they needed to do. And that's what the Sabbath is for us. The Sabbath for us is a moment where we take what is not rightfully ours, and yet from that, we receive the rest that we need in order to do what God would have us to do. That every one of you that are gathered here on this Sunday morning, what you're going to do is that you are going to come forward and you are going to be offered bread that you should not rightfully have. Because that bread is the body of Jesus. It's in, with, and under. And that's nothing that you should be able to claim as your own without his grace. And so you are coming forward like David and his merry men, eating bread that shouldn't be yours, but is yours. Because God wants you to be filled. Because God wants you to be at rest. Because God wants to take care of your needs so that you can go out into a world that is so sick with busyness that it's lost track of the good life that God wants us to give. And so as you come forward this morning, as you eat his body and drink his blood, know that he's giving you those things so that you might Sabbath, so that you might rest, knowing that he has given you the thing that you need the very most, the forgiveness of your sins. Complete and total and overwhelming. Filling you up so that you may go out from this place and blessedly this Sunday afternoon take a nap, knowing that God has fulfilled all that you truly need by giving you his Son. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.